Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Good morning. It is good to see your faces. I've missed you the last couple weeks. We've been gone. Anything happened while we were gone? I'm kidding. Yes, God did take care of us and you, and I'm going to be talking about that today. Let's begin with prayer. Father, you do take care of your children. That is the promise of Scripture over and over and over again. And sometimes that's tested, but you come through every time. And we are so grateful for your provision and your care for your children, for all your creation. And we give you thanks this day. Father, as we look to your word, I am so encouraged by what I see in Scripture. As I read again with fresh eyes, I just become excited by the promise of Scripture for your children. And so help us to see these promises again and be excited once again in who you are and in what you will do for us. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 121. You know, I started the year with this series called Formidable because I just felt strongly that to begin the year right, and none of us knew what was going to happen in this new year, but to begin the year right, we needed to be strong in the Lord. We needed to be formidable, not shaken, not moved, but strong and grounded in God. And the best way to do that is in prayer. Prayer is the foundational discipline that keeps us grounded in God. When everything else is falling apart, He is our solid rock. Amen? He is the one that will keep us and sustain us and uphold us. And so we started this series by talking about some prayers that we need to incorporate in this new year as we move forward. And I talked first about the important prayer of God, direct my footsteps. We read in Proverbs chapter 3 that in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. So what better way than to begin the year and to sustain us in this new year, God, direct and guide my footsteps. Then I talked about the importance of asking God for wisdom. The Bible says if any of us lack wisdom, and we can all grow in wisdom, that one of the best prayers we can ask is, God, give me wisdom. I have my shortcomings. I'm fragile. I'm human. God, I need your divine wisdom. And so one of the prayers we need to constantly be praying is, God, give me your wisdom. Help me to see things through your eyes, through your perspective. And then with the events of everything that's happened in our community the last couple of weeks, God directed me to Psalm 121 and other scripture passages, how we can be praying in this new year. Because one of the best prayers we can pray is, Lord, help me. Help us. Psalm 121. I'm going to read the entire chapter to you. There's only 8 verses. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. Church, grab hold of that promise. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen? What an incredible chapter. Lord, help me. It is a simple yet profound prayer that we as finite humans can and must pray. Lord, help me. The Bible gives us other scriptures, and I just want to give you five other passages to hold on to that will help us and guide us in our time of need and in our time of distress. This promise that we can call on the Lord and He can help us. We'll come back to Psalm, but turn to Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. And we read this. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Another amazing promise of God to His children. This promise to be with us, to uphold us, to strengthen us, and to help us. Now let's go back to Psalm. There's a couple of other passages I'd like for us to look at. I began the service by reading from Psalm 54, and I want to read that again, but then go on into some more verses from Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. And then go down to verse 4. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Psalm 34. Go back a few chapters to Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. And we can even go on into verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We can even go on into verse 19. A righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, yet not one of them will be broken. Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verse 7. I'm just trying to lay a scriptural foundation here for you of the promises of God over and over and over in Scripture, that God is there to help us. And so one of the ways we can pray as we stay strong in the Lord is, Lord, help us. Help me. Save me. Psalm 28, 7. The Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. And finally, Psalm 30, verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. This amazing promise we have from God's Word that we can cry out to Him and say, Lord, help me. So as you know, Renee and I have been gone the last couple of weeks, and we went to see our new grandbaby. Now, the baby was due originally January 21st. But you know how babies are. They have their own timeline, right? You don't know when they're going to come. And so we left 2.5 weeks ago. But we knew right off from the start we needed God's help, because our original plan was to drive and go up north, our usual route. But this is January, and the weather is crazy, and there were blizzards all through Idaho and Utah, and I didn't want to drive I-80 through Wyoming. That's just a treacherous stretch. And so, Lord, what do we do? And so we made the decision to go south instead of north. And so we went all the way down to Southern California and cut across Arizona. But while we were there, I thought to myself, you know, Renee's never been to the Grand Canyon. I've been there a few times. So we made a little detour, and Renee got to see the Grand Canyon for the first time, and it was amazing. And then we went and cut across through New Mexico, then up I-25 from Albuquerque up to Denver. And God was with us. He helped us along the way. A little extra two-day detour, but God helped us. And so while in Denver, of course, I saw some longtime friends who have been friends of mine since youth group days, and it was great catching up with them. Went to their church where their son is the youth pastor. He's doing a fantastic job, and I'm so proud of him. And then Sunday after church, we went to the Denver Nuggets game. You know, they're the world champions. You know, growing up in Denver, the Nuggets were not very good. They just were a lousy team. But that's changed. They won the championship last year. And I said to Renee, hey, we're in Denver. I've got to go see the world champion Denver Nuggets. And the game was phenomenal. Every possession they have is a highlight. I mean, they're just so good this year. And, of course, they won. They beat the Indiana Pacers. And so, after a quick bite to eat, Renee and I again prayed, God, what do we do, you know? How far into Kansas do we drive, you know? What city do we stop and, you know, find a hotel and sleep in and all that sort of stuff? Of course, how are the roads from I-70 from Denver into, you know, Kansas? All the sort of thing. And so we're driving, and we're not quite sure where to spend the night. We were praying, and then something told me, just to mention to Renee, give Carissa a call, you know, see, because we had planned to get in sometime Monday, how we could help. Actually, Renee texted Carissa, and Carissa called her right away. We had just gotten into Kansas. And Carissa says, my water broke. So we knew right then and there, we were not going to be spending the night, that God was going to help us make that trip to Fort Riley, Kansas, which he did. I-70 was perfect. There was no ice. The weather was clear. It was a God moment. Renee and I could sense that God was helping us. It was incredible. We got on base exactly at midnight. I mean, the clock said 12:00. Renee immediately took Carissa to the hospital. I stayed with Maislin. She was sleeping at the time. And 6.5 hours later, the baby was born. I mean, God helped us, and his timing was perfect. And so this picture was taken Monday morning. That's little Jackson. And I can tell you right now, he's already a blessing. Because he got us out of the storm that you guys went through. See, if you had just come with us, you would have avoided the storm. You would have got to see the cutest baby in the world. But we are grateful for little Jackson, that God helped us and enabled us to be a help to Carissa, because she had a friend that she was going to call to come watch Maislin, but the friend wasn't answering the phone call. And so God helped us get there just in time to help. When we cry out to God, God help us, he answers that prayer. He makes the path. He makes the way. And we're going to do it all over again and go back and see them in a few weeks, and we're excited for that. But God is our helper. God is for us. God is for you. He cares about those little details. When we cry out to God, we have the assurance that we're crying out to an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God, a God who has unlimited resources, who will do whatever he can, and sometimes he will move mountains to come through and be our helper. And so while it's good that we can call upon each other, and we should, we have the assurance that we can call out to Almighty God, and he, in his magnificent, beautiful, remarkable ways, can orchestrate the circumstances of our situation and come through and help us in a way that no one else can. Just this morning, I had to cry out to God for help because I was in a situation where I didn't know what to do. Some of you know I come really early on Sunday mornings just to check on the church and make sure everything's okay. And I was here about 6:30, and there was someone sleeping on the front porch there in front of the double doors, which happens regularly, but this situation was a little different because there was a wheelchair and some crutches. I went to the person, they were sleeping, and I tried to nudge them to see if they were okay, if there was anything we could do to help, and there was no response. And my heart sank. And I'm like, I'm not quite sure what to do. So I called 911 because I needed help in order to help this person. And they said, well, do you see any movement? I said, no. They said, "Do you see any breathing?" And I said, "I can't really tell." There was a blanket covering them, and I couldn't really tell. And they said, "Well, what we need you to do is turn them over on their back and administer CPR. And I said, "You know, it's been years since I've taken CPR classes," which is probably a good reminder for all of us. We should be up to date with all that sort of stuff. But I was starting to panic because it's been years since I've taken CPR courses. But I said, "Of course, I'll do whatever I need to do to help this person until help comes." And so as I began to roll them over on their back, they woke up. And I said, "Oh, they woke up. They woke up." And I leaned in and I said, "Are you okay? Do you need medical assistance?" And they said, "I'm okay. I'm okay." And so thank the Lord they were okay. But it's good to call on others for help so that we can, in turn, be a help to others. Because that's one of the primary ways that God offers help to people, is through us. I've got to say, through this storm that you guys endured, and some of you were without power for just a couple of hours, some of you were without power for days. The Hunts told me they were without power for 8 days. And there are still people in our community who are without power. I know crews are working very, very diligently to restore power. Just yesterday, I came to the church and I saw the crews working right here at this corner. That was yesterday about 9 in the morning. We are certainly grateful for those who are working hard to restore power. But I've got to tell you, church, from being far away where we were with the baby and hearing from you and seeing things online, I could not be more proud of this church and how you guys stepped up in the most beautiful way. I saw leadership from you in a way that I haven't seen before. I am so incredibly proud of you. The way you checked in on each other, the way you helped each other, the way you cared for each other. Did everything go smoothly? No. But you rose to the occasion in a way that I've not seen this church do so in quite a long time. Church, I'm incredibly proud of you. And it's a testimony to your compassion, your willingness to be the church, your willingness to step in and help. God bless you for what you did for each other during this time. I honestly could not be more proud of you. And not only that, because I read all the stuff online and there was a fair share of people in our community grumbling and complaining and griping. We all saw those posts. I did not see anything like that from any of you. Do you know how it touches my heart? Going through one of the worst natural disasters in recent memory, you didn't get online and gripe and complain. As a matter of fact, you were beacons of hope and help. And our very own Kaylee and Ridgely even went viral. Did you see their post? Ridgely, come on up here and share what you just shared about the story of this picture that you took, because their post went viral and offered so many people hope in a time of despair.
Yeah, this was a cool picture. This was me and Kaylee's probably first journey into town since the ice hit. But I had driven probably 200 miles over 3 days going back and forth to Doug and Tracy's house, checking on my animals, just like John said, people stepping up in our church and caring for other people. My animals were in a 28-degree house, you know, and had nowhere to go. I could shelter my family at my in-laws' house, but my dogs can't be there. So Doug and Tracy were able to step up and take our dogs and be able to help us. And that was a huge, you know, just like you were saying, our church is just a huge family, and to see that was amazing. But I drove 200 miles back and forth over like the course of 3 days, giving my dogs medication, checking my house, seeing if I had power, whatever. And me and Kaylee were driving along, and we see power trucks, you know, going by, and I said, "I think help's coming. I think they finally getting here." And we drove ahead of them, and I looked back, and I saw this policemen leading this huge row of, I don't know, however many, 7 or 12 or whatever there is, trucks there. And I just told Kaylee, you got to take a picture of that because that's like the cavalry's on their way, you know. And it was able to, like you said, bring 6,800 people hope that they were going to get power back soon and not be freezing forever.
Amen. You would have never imagined that a post like this could have been just that source of someone holding on just a little bit longer, you know? I could not be more proud of every single one of you for how, first of all, how God helped us, but then how you, in turn, were agents of help and hope, not only to each other, but to our community. It's absolutely amazing how God used you. That's the good news. The concerning news is, I saw, unless it's changed, I saw that we need to be aware of another storm coming in. So this is put out from the National Weather Service, predicts a possible atmospheric river and high winds along the West Coast from January 30th, that's 2 days from now, to February 3rd. Residents, be prepared for potential challenges on the heels of last week's storm. And they are encouraging to gather food, medical supplies, batteries, pet supplies, among other things needed by family members during an outage. Keep phones charged and consider a car charger. Keep your gas tank at least half full. Update contact info with utility providers. Possible effects include localized flooding, power outages, road closures, landslides, and falling debris. I've always felt that we should be prepared in case of any kind of emergency. Not an apocalyptic doom and gloom kind of stance. There are too many people who are just waiting for the world to explode. But we should be cautiously optimistic and be prepared. And so one of the things I'm going to give you, and if Sammy and Matt can come help me pass these out, this is just a half sheet emergency preparedness guide for you, and not just for you, but for your neighbors as well. Because one of the incredible things that God can use his people for is to be a blessing to others. You may be sitting there thinking, how in the world can God use me to help somebody else? Well, at the very least, you could, if you know your neighbor's not prepared, you could give your neighbor one of these sheets and say, listen, it is good just for us to be prepared in case something were to happen again. And I do believe there will be other natural disasters. We know that. Listen, we've been through wildfires. We've been through a pandemic. We've been through ice storms. They're telling us to prepare for earthquakes. And so I think part of our prayer in asking God for wisdom is to be prepared. And so this is a pretty basic checklist, but it's not exhaustive. You may think of other things that you might need in your context or your situation. For example, I was watching an interview with Henry Winkler a couple of months ago. He used to play the Fonz. Those of you who are younger may not remember the Fonz. But he lives in Southern California. And the person interviewing him said, you know, I was at your house a couple of weeks ago, and you do something very unusual at your house. You have a crowbar in every room. He said, you want to explain why you have a crowbar in every room in your house? And, of course, my attention perked up. And he went on to explain, he said, you know, here in Southern California, we have these things called earthquakes. And if the earth shifts enough, it could jam your door that you can't get out. And so having a crowbar in the room could help him open the door. I thought that was brilliant. And so this list isn't exhaustive, but it is a good basic list to help get us started. There are essentials, and you can read through that list. There are safety and comfort supplies there. There are cooking, sanitation, tools and supplies. Let this be a guide for you as you prepare. Again, I don't think we need to take the posture of apocalyptic doom and gloom. I don't think that's what we need to do. But I do believe that wisdom compels us to be ready to care for our own family and for our neighbors, if needs be. Church, I could not be more proud of you this last 2 weeks. Thank you for being the church. And just yesterday, I heard that of another wonderful gesture of a couple in our church is doing to assist those in need. It just keeps flowing. And I thank you. And most of all, I thank the Lord for His help, His guidance, and your hearts being open to His love and His guidance to be the church and to look after one another. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in those times of need, we can call on You and have the assurance that You will indeed hear us, and You do. And I thank You for being a part of this church family that has stepped up in a wonderful way to help these last couple of weeks. Lord, we want to be the kind of people to be a help to others because we know the kind of help and resource that You are to us. And so as we prepare for another possible storm or future storms or whatever else is in store, we can call on You to be our helper. We also know that we need wisdom to prepare for such another event. For those in our community who are still struggling or recovering, Father, be with them and provide the resources they need. There may be some in our own church that are struggling. Lord, help us to be able to be the help that they need. And for all of us, Lord, we recognize we are finite. It may seem like we're in a hopeless situation, but we can call on You, and You have unlimited resources at Your disposal. I thank You, Lord, for our church family, and I pray that You will continue to use us in the days and weeks, months and years to come. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you, church family. It's good to worship with you. You are dismissed, and just have a good week. God be with you.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.